Attitude to learn. Attitude is key, amen? Say attitude. Say, I have the right attitude towards Christian meetings. Psalm 51, verse 10. Our salvation, part 23. Attitude towards Christian meetings. I'm coming to learn. It's not just we are gathering together unto thee, unto the Lord. We are gathering together unto thee, unto the Lord, unto the pam 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 gather to become better in our things, not just for the sake of coming together. Amen. Of course, we fellowship. I'm saying it's towards an end. Everything we do is towards an end. People who go to Beer Palace, they have fellowship, right? They fellowship together. But ours is towards an end. Sister Anu, thanks for coming around again. Welcome. Okay, are you ready today? Psalm 51, verse 10. Appetizer, as usual, let's be done with this. Create in me a new heart, O God, and what? Renew a right spirit within me. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Wow. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. First thing you have to notice there is that it didn't say the joy of my salvation. It said the joy of your salvation. Say salvation is the Lord's. Say salvation belongs to God. Say God is an old seller or is an old giver in salvation. No partnership. It's a sole proprietor. Hallelujah. So in salvation, God is a sole proprietor. So this is a typical Davidic hymn, which most Christians are still singing today. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not your spirit from me. Well, so you have to understand that the men of the Old Testament were combating that enemy called spiritual death. There's a book that we are going to trash out very soon in Edify Assembly. Just remind me, that is that book of Ecclesiastes. That's a book that when I come to understand the reality of our redemption by E.W. Kenyon, Bible in the Light of Our Redemption, when I now read that book again, I just feel like I'll just be reading that book and be crying. Because you are actually seeing the agony of man in search for God. Agony of man in search for redemption, in search for salvation. When you are seeing everything, he tried this vanity. See that God factor in man, nothing can replace it. At times it's good to tell some youth, don't worry. Flex all you can. You will come back. You want to enjoy your life? Just try it. You will come back. Nothing. So that is why Romans 1:28 tells you that they will always go further, a step further in their addiction. Say even the men live the natural use of the woman. Men with men now started born in their lust one towards another. It's because nothing satisfies that thirst of man's spirit than God. Remember what I said about the spirit of man? He's created for God. That is a factor in you that you cannot say God is not relating with you. Amen? The spirit of man is the candle of the living God. So, what they were combating was that thing called spiritual death. It was a terrible oppressor. Terrible oppressor. And their songs and their prayers all circles around that fact. Just like same way as when we sing Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna means come and save. They are crying for the Redeemer. Don't forget, when you look at the Old Testament, you are intelligent. You are intelligent. There is an intelligence. Say you have known the Holy Spirit, which is able to make you wise. Sophizo. Wise, cunning, crafty, intelligent, as touching salvation. So when you look at the Bible, you must know why they speak the way they spoke. Are you with me? So at times David talks from a standpoint of, okay, he will save us. At times he talks also as he has saved us. E.g., when he is saying, "Blessed is the Lord my soul, who forgiveth all my iniquity." That is now the reality of what? The new creation. But when he was saying, "Cast me not away, don't take this spirit from me," that is a heart cry for what? Redemption. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you must know the plane that the man is standing at each time. Told you, Bible interpretation, it's not just a must for every preacher, it's a must for every Christian. So there are songs, there are prayers, the hymns. You must know what, you must know why he's saying what he's saying. You are crying for a savior. So David was crying, lamenting here, I'm tired of this fluctuating fellowship with you. I'm tired of being shut out of your presence. I don't want the spirit to depart from me anymore. But God answered his prayer with a prophecy. Ezekiel 36, 26. Ezekiel 36, 26. Let me know when you are there. That is not standard. Glory, honor, our majesty be unto God. Amen. Are you there? Okay, let's take it together. One to go. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put where? Within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you what? A heart of what? Flesh. 27. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. So, but don't forget, he was using a future tense, right? I will. But today, he has. Amen? Praise God. So, see when God fulfilled their promise, his promise to them, Acts 13 to 32. Oh, wait, Romans 15 verse 8 first. Emoji, that is a very bad note for a man of God. A very bad note. Very wicked note. Your note is wicked. Your note cannot make heaven. Your note is rejected. Your note is banished from the kingdom of God to the pit of hell, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can't come to this church with that note. Condemned. See, even see Brother Raphael. See the note of your church member. That's a church member from Sunday. See his note. See your notes. Amen. Romans 15, verse 8. Want to go? Now I say that Jesus Christ was a what? Minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. To confirm what? The promises made unto the Father. So he came under the law. That is Galatians chapter 4, verse 3. He was made born under the law, made under the law. Just check it. Let me know, paraphrase for you. Galatians 4. Come on. Electronics. Why is my Bible closed? Galatians 4. Are you there? Let's read from verse 1. Okay, sorry. I'm the one that is not used to modern facilities. Okay, want to go? Let's go. Yes. Yes. That we might what? Receive the adoption of sons. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you with me? So he sent, you see that particular word, made under the law. So the same thing, Romans 15 verse 6 is telling you that he was a minister of the circumcision. Meaning, he came under the law, but to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. To confirm those promises, to fulfill the promises. Same thing he was saying in Romans chapter, Matthew 5, verse 19. I have not come to what? Destroy the law, but to what? Fulfill. I have not come to annihilate. I have come to fulfill it. Fulfilling means I will take this sin away legally. Everything, every requirement of the law, I am going to pay. Destroy means just abandon the law. Of course, and when he's saying the law there, he's not actually talking about thou shalt not or thou shalt not do this or thou shalt not do that. He was talking about the prophecies. Are you with me? Are you with me? So, Matthew 5, 17, is it 17 or 19? Which one is it? 19 now. So he's talking about the prophecies. He came to fulfill the prophecies of the scriptures. So, Acts now. Acts chapter 13, right? 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how was the promise which God made unto the fathers. 33. God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. So he said he has fulfilled every promise made unto the fathers. They were fulfilled in the resurrection. It's the resurrection. They were fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus. Of Jesus. There is no promise God has for man that is not yet fulfilled. Say, God promised me something special last night. I'm sorry. He has fulfilled all his promises to you. There is no special covenant God is initiating with any man again. His promise with man has been fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus. So, I say 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Can we take this together? 1, 2, go. Oh, some people are not there. Wait for. These are newcomers. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, let's do it again. 1, 2, go, yes. For all the promises of God in him. Say in him. Say in him. That's the key. It's in him. The promises of God that are yea and amen are the ones in him. These are the ones we can hold God at his jugular. That this is what you have said. That so I tell you, when you preach the gospel, it is a must that a man that believes be saved. Because the promises are what? Yea and amen. A man cannot believe the gospel and God said, no, no eternal life for you. No, his promises are yea and amen. So the resurrection of Jesus from hell is the fulfillment of all the promises of the Old Testament, including David's prayer points. Including it. So when you reach Psalm, is it 100 verse 4 that says, enter into his gate with thanksgiving, right? Check your Bible. Come on, don't look at me. Church, you check your Bible. Is it Psalm 100 verse 4? Oh, that one, I will enter, B. What's that? Why is Psalm 100 verse 4? Is it I will enter or enter his gate? Okay, I will enter, right? I will enter his gate with thanksgiving in my heart. Well, sorry, you will not enter again. You have entered. Amen? To enter his gate there is for man to be in Christ. The man that needs to enter now is the one that is not born again. So when you read Psalm 35, you must know that the oh God, contend with those who contend with me, Well, some of you have crammed those portions. Anytime you have nightmares, you wake up shouting, Bible. Bible is not incantation. You know, some of us, we have some they call it some ajebi, you know? Sorry, what is the English of ajebi, you know? No English. scripture that does not miss that. No. In fact, later we start calling some, say, ajebi ogun. You understand? Oh, you don't get that. Something like that. Like ajebi, you know, like something that now put that Isaiah. I know these things before. That Isaiah. There's no 75 for Isaiah. Say Isaiah. Are you all right? No, it's not 70. It's that one that he said that that I will feed them that oppress with their own blood. I will make them drunken with their blood as with sweet wine. That's Psalm 51. When he's talking about Babylon, said that my battle axe and my weapons of war with thee. That's Jeremiah 51, right? With thee, will I break in peace nation? With thee, I will destroy kingdoms. Just quote. Now go to now. Just be mixing it like a DJ. You know, mix this, mix that, mix freestyle. And we think that is what makes prayers answer. Oh, grow up. Tell anybody, say grow up. Say grow up, Baba. Don't use Bible as incantation. You have grown. So that strife, the struggle of man is always now. This strife, the main strife of man, especially in the Old Testament, it was against sin, against spiritual death, and against the devil. Write it down that way. Sin, spiritual death, and the devil. Of course, still them are united. So when you are seen at times, the primary enemies of David, as maybe he was praying against the Philistines and the rest, but you must know that the real struggle of man was against what? Sin, spiritual death, and the devil. So also, the epistle taught the enemies of man as spiritual. Maybe you need to get this down. God does not have enemy. You can't be an enemy of God. The devil is not an enemy of God. We can only call him an enemy of God in the context that is the enemy of man. It's man that has enemies. So the devil is only against God because he is against God's man. You know, I mean, you can't say that me and God, are you okay? You can't even conceive it. So Romans 7, verse 7, let me just show you. The epistles taught the enemies of man as spiritual, not physical. Anywhere they are teaching you to pray dangerous prayer against men, they are doing injustice to your spiritual growth. Romans 7, verse 7, open your Bible. Romans 7, verse 7. Okay, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Are you there? Then, I have not known sin, but what? But what? Okay, I'm coming there very soon. I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known laws, except the law had said what? Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the what? Commandments, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Verse 11, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me and by it slew me. 12, wherefore the law is what? Holy, and the commandment holy, just and... Which one is this talking about? Tooth for a tooth. Is that one holy? Which one is holy? Just and good. Huh? It depends. Which one is holy? Just and good. Bookie, which one is just and good? Huh? Why are you not bold now?
Amen. In the Testament, do you see, thou shalt not do this or die there? It's just an instruction. Amen. You simply give me plantain plus very nice beans. Not give me plantain and very nice beans or else pack out of my house. That's different. Seller. Praise God. We have beans. Some people know how to cook beans. Amen. Celebrate with people. Okay, where are we? Verse, I'm telling them, I'm pushing what I want to eat. Something like that. Out of context. You follow me? Yeah. Okay. So where are we? So when he was saying the commandment, it was holy, just and good, he's referring to the Ten Commandments. Verse 12, was then that which was good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might what? Appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandments might what? Become exceedingly sinful. So how did the Ten Commandments become those terrible statutes? 612 of them. How? What caused it? Do you know all those things that he was speaking about later? That was all those two words. Do you know they are the attempt to explain the Ten Commandments? Huh? So how did the Ten Commandments become that terrible? Why you be intelligent now from what where we have read? Huh? Eunice? Yes, not just that. Ah, simple. That yesterday you answered the question. Today you have answered it again. Sin. The influence of sin. You understand? That means when you give instructions to a man that is in sin, what will happen? Voila. Are you with me? That is why epistles are addressed to saints, not to humanity. You know, we have to adjust our gospel. Some of you go to the north and you want to tell some people that because you have three wives, you must divorce or throw away two for you to be saved. All those things. Become saved first. Simple. And anything that you assume to be good conduct can follow after. I get what I'm saying. The Ten Commandments is not bad, it's okay. But eating them, eating a rebellious man, eating a man that is already, whose mind is made up to run away from God, those commandments will become evil. Understood? Thank you. So, verse 13, was then that which was good made death unto me? God forbid. But what?
Hey God, peace is not there. You are shouting.
But what?
I know you are not shouting.
But what? Sin, right?
Romans 7, verse 13. Come on, you are writing, right? Okay, let me wait for you, small.
Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But what? Sin, right? That it might appear sin. Walking death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Is that clear? See verse 14, for we know that the law is what? Spiritual. But I am carnal, sold under sin. Don't forget, this is not Paul's personal experience, okay? See it as a description. It's just an analogy of man. Of man in search of God. He analyzed just man under the law, under the Old Testament, and later under the New Testament. That's why the progression of Romans 7 entered Romans 8. So back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. So one thing that we saw that God dealt with them, so the enemy of man in that place, sin. In the context of Romans 7, the enemy of man there is sin. Let's see another enemy of man that you have overcome. Ephesians 2:15.
Ephesus. Read what? Say what? Hey, don't do this in your church. I beg you.
Ephesians 2:15. Want to go? Let's go. Yes. Having what? Abolish in his flesh the enmity. What's the enmity? Even the law of what? Oh, so what's happening?
I told you, context is the savior of Bible interpretation.
So commandments here, is this the same thing as the commandments that we just finished reading? Just follow. So having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the what? Law of commandments contained in what?
Prophet, you're not looking at me. You're looking.
Contained in what? So he never the Ten Commandments were never referred to as ordinances anywhere. Ordinances were the what? All those small, small, plenty ones that follow the ten. And I will explain very soon what is happening. To make in himself a twin, that's some knowledge there. To make of himself of what? Twin. Of twin. That would mean God has been relating with humanity in two streams. The stream that had the oracles of God, called the Jews, right? The streams that never had the oracles of God, called the Gentiles, even before redemption.
So I've told you, don't say there's a man that has not heard the gospel. Selah.
Okay, for to make in himself of twin, one new man, so what? Making peace. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having what? Slain the enmity thereby. What's the enmity? 17. And came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were near. Verse 18. For through him we what? Both have access by one spirit unto the Father.
Oh.
So what is the law of commandments in that place? That is simply the laws that separated Jews from Gentiles. Are you with me? Is there anything in the Ten Commandments that told a Jew not to relate with a Gentile? Huh? Just do a mental brush through the Ten. So it was the later ordinances that now what put that separation. So that law was an enmity. The ordinances, he took it away. Praise God. Praise God. So there's another enemy of man that the epistles clearly taught. Hebrews 2:14. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are what? Partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself.
Okay, I wait for you. You're not there. You're not there. You are there, you read with me. I love you when you read together.
Okay, let's do it again. Once ago, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is who? The devil. Verse 15, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime. Hallelujah. So the epistle also taught the devil as the enemy of man. Man is never taught as the enemy of man. The epistle and Jesus too never taught man as the enemy of another man. Any prayer point, any message centered to make you aggressive towards any wicked man is not of God. Love your enemy. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that persecute you and those that despitefully use you, that you might be the sons of your Father in heaven. Because there's rain to fall upon all. 1 Corinthians 15:25. There's another enemy of man that is taught in the epistles. 1 Corinthians 15:25. Hilary, maybe we should just give you the exam straight. Maybe you do it today, you pass. Something like that. He said no. 1 Corinthians 15:25. Want to go? For he must reign till he hath what? Put all enemies under his feet. 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Is death. So, what is the enemy of man there? Mortality. Mortality. Put it as mortality. Mortality. So, but when you come to Christ, you will see that your sin has been forgiven, taken away, blotted out completely. You will see that you are triumphant over the devil. You will also have the assurance of immortality, the law of separation taken away. Say, in Christ, we have full victory. So, I'm saying the things that were taught as the enemy of man, in fact, the only one that it looks like it's not yet done is what? The immortality one, and we have that assurance, right? The spirit in you is a down payment that immortality is yours. Praise God. Come on, praise God. Hebrews 9:26. Hebrews 9:26. For then must he have often... For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to what? Put away sin by the what? Sacrifice of himself. To put away sin. To put away that separation by the sacrifice of himself. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10. So when you become born again, you see that spiritual death also has been swallowed up in victory. Defeated for your sake. 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. But it's now made manifest to us by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has what? Abolished death and has brought what? Life and immortality to reality, to light through the gospel. So now in Christ, you are in light, not in darkness. The devil has been disarmed. The devil has been disarmed. He has been discomfited on your behalf. So, this is also why we say no Christian needs deliverance. Why? It takes deliverance to be a Christian. Learn that from Pastor Nainka too. It takes deliverance to be a Christian. If you are not delivered, you are not a Christian. Colossians 1:13. I read the Amplified, but you are now a victor. You are not the one praying wishes, oppressors, further and then. No, you are the, in fact, you are the new oppressor, but you are oppressed with the gospel. You are oppressed with love. Not, you don't love devil. So Colossians 1:13, I read the Amplified, the Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and dominion of darkness. Out of the control and dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Out of the dominion, out of the control of darkness. You are no more under the control of darkness. So you take your place as a son of God. You take your place in dominion. And never allow any demon interfere again with your mind, with your body, because your spirit has been eternally delivered from darkness. Amen. Say, I'm internally delivered. Glory to God. So, we can clearly say the prayers of David in Psalm 35 has been answered for us. It's not your business to be struggling, praying against demons. Just take your stand as a son of God. Proverbs 16 verse 12. When you see Christians that see base their faith or their faith life on some psalms that you read into a bottle. So you read, you put water in a bottle and you read psalm into it. Ah. What's that? Grow up. Grow up. Grow up. Say, Bratolu, grow up. Grow up. Read, read. You see, using miracle and carrying it everywhere like a talisman. Grow up. Proverbs 13:12. He said there, hope defieth what? Maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred make the heart sick. So their hope was delayed until the resurrection of Jesus. So why were they lamenting? Why was David lamenting? Cast me not away. Yes, their promise was delayed. Not by God anyway. But it was delayed because until resurrection, you cannot have what you are crying for. Are you with me? It was the resurrection that made the tree of life available in that context. So when a man eats or believes in him, he lives forever. He lives forever. Okay, I just do one analysis for you and we'll be done. Check that Genesis 3, 20, verse 22 again. Let me ask this question. Back in the Garden of Eden, after Adam ate of the fruits of death, of course, you know the meaning of that right now. If he had simply proceeded further to eat of the tree of life, what will happen? And read it up. Ratolu, Satola. After he ate of that wicked tree, whatever you call it, if he had proceeded to now, after that, eat of the good tree, what will happen to him? Huh? He will be an immortal devil. Let me hear your comeback. Let me hear you. No worry. Let me just hear you. Yes. Okay. What do you know before? I know you are now. You are doubting what you know before. But what do you know before? He will live in death forever. He will be redeemable. What do you think? Now, what do you think is the problem with that assertion? I read that one too in E.W. Kenyon book. It's in the Bible of Light of Our Redemption. That if Adam has eaten of the tree of life, after he has eaten of the tree of life, that he will now become eternally sinful. I mean, but that means something is wrong. That would mean you are seeing, that means the tree of, that would mean the tree of knowledge of good and evil killed man spiritually, but the tree of life made man alive only physically. You get that? That would mean, because if you are saying you will now be alive, but irredeemable, that would mean anywhere you are seeing life in the Bible is just long life. But anywhere you see death is what? It's real death. Say life reverses death. So, the question is, the way Genesis was scripted looks like God now prevented him from eating of the tree of life. God does not do things like that. Amen. Let me wait for series 3. Amen. See Genesis 3:22. Life and death, they are both spiritual entity. Even without eating of the tree of life, he lived 930 years. My God. In fact, for some of you, if they say, well, out of you enjoy your life, enjoy anyhow, paint the town red for 930 years, and you still be strong like this, like in the 900 years, eh? You be strong, and the eternal life of God says, choose one. Some of you will even choose that. Ah. God, give me this. Give me this 900 years first. Don't you have 900 years? And you saw Lord Lugard. You saw you and this one, Abatessin, you went to primary school together. Abatessin is still, you see. That means, you see what I'm saying? 900 years. Man, that means you use Abacus. Abacus is still recent, for Christ's sake. Give me a good example. From when they're using stone as matches, until computer came. My God. That man will be history. You need any history, just go to him. So long life in the Bible is, you have to know what you are talking about. Amen? Life is spiritual. So Genesis 3:22, want to go? And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us. I have showed you plenty times how the Lord said of Moses is not always God speaking. Amen? For instance, when you read That's Exodus chapter 3. And in the story of the burning bush, you saw how an angel said, was interplayed with God said and the Lord said. Are you with me? So anytime you just see God said, don't always, you have to check what that God said. Then ask Jesus, Jesus, can God say this? You say, Abba, how my Abba say that? So that's how you know what God actually said. But, so, Pastor, are you saying the Old Testament cannot be trusted? Yes. But the fact that what is clear is that somebody said it. You get it? Somebody said it. It was said. So that it was said is a fact. But who said it? You now be patient. Okay. Because you now ask Moses. Moses, how many people are you calling God? You understand? He called angel God. There are times he can even call the devil God. Because like that one that came in the middle of the night to kill all the firstborn of the Egyptians, I didn't even think that should be an angel. I don't trust Michael. I don't know what he does. Amen. Selah. So, and the Lord God said, behold. So, I've trashed down that the Lord God. Behold, the man is become as one of us. Imagine, to know good and evil. Look at even the devil is talking here. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat forever. Push him out. Doesn't even sound like an angel. Don't worry, we'll trash it out later. Not today. So, anyway, this is what I'm trying to say. Adam sinned and he died. But that death is not a finality. If Adam believed the gospel after the garden, he would be saved. Are you with me? And don't forget, the garden is not a place. It's just, everything is a description of a relationship. So if he had believed the gospel, he would be saved. But the issue is that he had an influence over creation. So the disobedience of Adam, this is where I'm going, has a far lesser effect than the obedience of Christ. The disobedience of Adam has a far lesser effect, I'm saying in magnitude right now, not vector. See it as a scalar quantity. Sorry. Okay. I mean, let's assume that the disobedience of Adam took humanity back by minus 10. The obedience of Christ is not plus 10. It's like plus 1,000. It's not the same. Huh? Actually, cap. How did I say it? Okay, I said the obedience of Adam has a far lesser effect than the obedience of Christ. It's not the same in magnitude. It's not like minus 10, minus 10, minus 10 plus plus 10, then they cancel out. No. That is why one word is used emphatically in that Romans 5. Check Romans 5 from verse 12. You see the word much more. Abi? Much more. Romans 5 verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin enter into the world, and death by sin, and so death pass, having sway upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them who have not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of what? Him that was to come. This thing took us three series already. Verse 15. But see 15, he said, but not as the offense. I see that is not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more, say much more, come on, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Wow, that would mean we don't have to categorize that many. Leave that for now. 16, and not as, can you see? Not the magnitude, right? The effect are different. Not as it's, you know, we have magnified the sin of Adam so much. Adam said, everybody just died. But Christ died. Well, people are getting saved gradually. And as long as that is what we believe, that's what we'll be seeing in people's experience. See, 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. See,
The gift of eternal life is so free. It's freer than sin. It's cheaper to be born again than to live a life of sin. I mean, than to go to hell. It's so cheap. It's too cheap. Heaven is too cheap to enter. Ah. See it? And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But what? Free gift is of many offenses unto justification. 17. Want to be everybody? For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more. Say much more. They which receive abundance of grace and the what? Gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. 18. Yes. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. 19, want to go, come on. For as by one man's obedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Say many, pass many. Say many, pass many. Come on, okay, see verse 20. Yes. Moreover, the law entered. This is a cash out. The law entered that the offense might abound. So despite the addition of the law, see the next phrase. Want to go? But where sin abounded, what happened? Grace did much more. God will save the worst of sin. And you see Michael Jackson there, you'll be surprised. Say, yeah! As if he believes he goes for anyway. So see, the key is, the key all over the ages. You know, we trashed out Abraham. We saw Abraham yesterday, Abby. Eh? We saw Abraham even before he received the gospel. After we saw him, his name, Abraham, which is far more righteous than Abraham. Don't tell him. Amen. Far more. I don't understand. How can you lie about your wife, do everything, and God went to threaten that man? You are a dead man. Return his wife and give him some money. Imagine. He's using the... He's... Just try and get that message yesterday. I'll try and watch it live. I will not edit it till the end of the month. Like, it's just oppressing people. Hey. If you look at that Keturah's issue... No, Keturah, no. Agai's issue. That it's Sarah that suggested to... Adam. Anyway. Ina. Okay. Your wife tell you that, what do you pray today? Sorry, I made indomie. Me indomie? I'm not eating. You rejected that one. Now said, take this girl. Say, okay. Imagine. The tool of his rebellion. Anything at all. Okay. So where are we? So verse 21, that as sin as what? Reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. See, give out this message freely. Just share it like this. You will see them in heaven. Some of them, they are still going to wear their hijab. Eh? They are still there. They are still going to the mosques. But the message has eaten them one way, one day. You see them there. It's sheep. He just believe. He doesn't even confess. It's belief. Confess is so that you can make utter call. You can write. Sabuki can do follow up. Make record. You confess with your mouth what you have believed in your heart. Sometimes you don't have to confess before. It's not saying until you confess before the whole Nigeria. That's what you know. When you get Muslims, say, oh, you don't tell them that. Yeah, go and tell your father at home that I am born again, daddy. Go and tell your imam, your imam at home that, daddy, I'm born again. You will pay school fees. So.
I'm not a Christian.
Eh? Praise God. Just make it gradual, progressive. He has passed already. He has passed from death to life. Don't you know? He has crossed. What you cross border? Amen. You are pursuing, you are just entering the embassy. You have crossed. Just forget it. I remember there was a movie I was watching. They were pursuing a guy. He just crossed Mexico border by a line. The guy was there. The policeman was there. He said, oh yeah, I'll be. Just a line. Say, I've crossed! Glory to God. You see all of them, you see a hijab, we preach, we share it on social, gradually, because of the security issue of the world, that's why we have to be, should I say, we have to pray also for the security of our countries, because the more they ask, due to security, there are now more restrictions. I think in the 80s, there are no houses, there's no houses with barbed wire. Now, houses, they don't really have high fence, barbed wire, estates. Now they don't want to allow preachers to invade. Once you just see you are carrying Bible, just say no, we don't allow preachers, anybody here. Perhaps because some people have come in the name of a preacher to now do havoc in those places. But well, thank God for social media. Amen. Praise God. No, me and you, we are sick maybe towards the tail of the year. After I have first take away the love of social media from your soul, I will now give you back how to please God on social media. Amen. No, peace, you will not be in that. you will not be in that unit. Peace, you will not be in that. Peace and Tola will not be in that unit at all. Amen. Praise God. So, all that they will hear. You can sponsor a post for Kano alone. Hope you know. People in Kano, you all be seeing it. Praise God. So, with all the tools at our disposal, this gospel will be heard. Say, grace is much more. So, it's so cheap. People just read your tract, and they believe. That's it. That's fact. Eternally translated. So, John chapter 6, verse 50. So, there is an emphatic part of the gospel, that once you believe in Christ, the opportunity to shrink back to death is taken away. It's much more. The man in Adam can be saved, but the man in Christ cannot be unsaved. It's not the same parallel. Don't say, well, once you are in Adam, you are done for. No, it's not the same parallel. It's so emphatic that the man in Christ, you can't take him back to death. Because Adam did not pay a sacrifice to enter death. That was just going his own way. But a sacrifice was paid for the ransom. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just too late for the believer to die. And I tell you the truth, when you see people who are just fighting eternal salvation, what's the English of them on Rita? They can't even see afar. It's because they are in Lagos, where they think everybody around them is born again, but they are not serious. Why not go into a country that they didn't want to hear your Jesus? It's because you think that everybody is fine. That's why I say, what? How can you say all this when we enter heaven? Enter some country that Jesus is a forbidden word. When you get there, you know that. Even if you preach for 10 days, after 10 days, you just say, okay, I like Jesus. Yeah, you will run up and down. You will not say, but you will not even remember, but you are still smoking. I know, you like Jesus. That is awesome. Thank you. But once you're in Nigeria, that have been colonized with missionaries and the rest, they're just, you're happy. French now, Islam is taking over French, France, gradually. That's why, okay, let me finish this so I can. Part two is coming, this appetizer, right? John 6. It's 50, right? Yeah, 50. So it's because people are just in their comfort zone. Once everybody around, they are born into Christian family. Now think everybody is born again. Now they say, how can everybody enter even like that? We have much more people, many more that just need to hear this thing. John 6, verse 50. Want to go? This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may what? Eat thereof and not die. 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Of course, this is a spiritual terminology, not physical eating. This is not only communal. It's Holy Communion. You can't eat Holy Communion and live forever. But see verse 6 tells you that the words that I speak unto you are spiritual, not spirit. They are spiritual, okay? They are spiritual. They are alive. Are you with me? They are spiritual. Not physical what? They are spiritual. So to eat, how do you eat and live forever is to believe the gospel. See verse 35? The same chapter told you how to eat and live forever. 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the what? Bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never what? Hunger. And he that what? Believeth on me shall never thirst. Hope it's clear now. So eating, believing, drinking, everything is just to believe. It's not even to believe and confess. Just everything is just to believe. Amen, amen. So it's not because you eat holy communion. That's not where you have eternal life. Verse 40. And this is what? The will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have what? Everlasting life. And I will. Say, I will. I will raise him up on the last day. So your living forever is no more subject to your will. After you have believed the gospel. Somebody, he said, me, you believe, but me, I will raise you up. Hallelujah. I will raise you up. So that guy that has crossed the border, there is a force that prevents him from crossing back. You can enter, you can cross. No, wala. Once you cross, you can't cross. Abi, you can't go back. Amen. It's, just, it's not me. I don't like you. No, I don't like you in this place. It's God that like you. I prefer that eye for eye, tooth for tooth, fire for fire. That goes who brings more money. But after I have prepared you that you're here, you're going to hell, your beers, sorry, my own, you're going to hell. After I prepared you with others on you, your afro, you're going to hell, you will be money in the account. You'll be humble. You sow. So, this is like somebody said, is it Joshua that said, this group is not selling you? I say, sorry. can't we just add small, not even tight, small, small pepper. Hallelujah. Come on, says our gospel. Say we love it like that. They say we are poor.
Is it your poverty?
Thank you, Jared. So, verse 40, right? And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. So it's much more. It's not like the sin of Adam. You are saved by the strength of God. You are saved by the strength of God. So, I tell you, brethren, every other thing you read in the Bible is almost secondary. Salvation, eternal redemption is primary. One believing is enough. One believing is just enough. See, one believing is enough. I read that 2 Timothy 1 verse 10 for you. I'm rounding off now. Again, it is that purpose in Amplified Version. It is that purpose, 2 Timothy 1 verse 10, it is that purpose and grace which he has now made known and fully disclosed and made real to us through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who annulled death and made it of no effect and brought life and immortality, immunity from eternal death to life through the gospel. See, I have immunity from eternal death. So actually, Bible's definition of immortality is more than living, breathing in oxygen in and out forever. No, it's immunity from eternal death. Ooh, glory to God. So all those scriptures that he's saying, it's not just about you are bouncing up and down, you are 800 years, you just see happening and it's 10 shifts, stuff like that. No, that is not the immortality. Immortality, you are alive to God forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say, death is defeated. That's why Romans 6:22. So you have, you know, you have death or hell immunity. You have an anti-hell. Sin will never land any believer in hell again. Never. You are a master. I'm not a slave. Say, I'm a master. I'm not a slave to sin. So that's why we now add Romans 6:22 and 23. Want to go 20 to 23, yes?
Come on. But now, Romans 6:22-23, but now being made what? Free from sin and become servant to God, you have your fruit unto what? Holiness and the end, everlasting life. 23, but the wages of sin is death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So lastly, Luke 1:74. So we have liberty to serve God. Of course, not liberty to indulge in sin. We are called to live in the victories and liberties of a new creation. No more hell for you. Come on. No more sin, no more pain, offering, doing evangelism, going to church just to avoid hell. No. No more serving God out of fear, dread, and horror. No. Luke 1:74. That he will grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hands of our enemies might serve him without fear. So the deliverance comes before the service. So we being delivered out of the hands of our enemies might what? Serve him without fear. 75. In what? Holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Amen, amen. Praise God. Now we serve God with love, with earnest zeal, with passion, for we are saved eternally. For we are saved and thoroughly saved. You know, when you say, when you have a chicken and you sauce it very well, you put all the spices inside. You understand? That's eternal life. Eternal life is the sauce, it enter well. I'm just telling you things I love to eat. You understand? You know, when you sauce a chicken, you put all the spices inside. You understand? Not just the chicken that you open and the inside is white. No. You sauce it. Say, God sourced me very well with eternal life. Say, I'm sourced. Shake it, come on. Say, I'm sourced. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, I'll give you 5 minutes break. Please take us offline.